This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That was Greg Newsom. We've heard from Jameis. We've heard from Miles. Last night, Juan Thornhill on Instagram said, cheering for someone's injury is blankety-blank pathetic. Y'all are sick. Zero respect. I mean, is it the players versus the fans now for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've got one of the most expensive rosters in NFL history. You've got a bunch of veterans on this team.
You know where this goes.
You are going nowhere fast. You're 1-6. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be this weekend. How many quarterbacks are they going to go through this year? Last year it was 5.
You have enough experience to know this. Because there, again, and there are people who go, Ken, you're wrong. Okay, I was there. And you bring in a stack of Bibles and I'll swear on all of them. If there's 66,000 fans there, yes, there were some people who were cheering it. There wasn't, to me, it was a very loud, very small minority, okay? But the players heard it. So now there's people that were in the stands. They did not cheer that Deshaun Watson got hurt. And you know what this turns into. Juan Thornhill gets burnt on Sunday against the Ravens, which is very well a possibility. The Ravens are a good football team. And all of a sudden it becomes, wait, you're going to tell me what to do and you can't do your job? That's what that turns into. Greg Newsom. Get smoked next Sunday against Baltimore. Wait, you're going to tell me how to react? You're going to tell me how to live my life? I can't tell you that you need to be better at your job? That's what this becomes. Rodney got in on it on Twitter. Rodney joins us tomorrow. Going to be a pretty awkward 9 o'clock hour tomorrow, is it not? That's what you know where this goes.
Wait a second. Did we at least get a touchdown out of him?
Not yesterday.
Rodney, what is going on?
You got to find a way to get the ball in his hands and get him in the end zone. I mean, guys, Josh Cribbs is one of the most beloved Browns of this generation. People love Josh. But hey, you remember which loss did they have where Josh finally just came apart and he went after the fans years ago? Remember, I was living in Tremont. You were calling me going, are you listening to this right now? I go, what? He goes, Josh is ripping them. Josh is ripping the fans. I go, Josh is what? I'm driving my wife's Dodge Caliber. I turn up the radio. Josh is upset. They're playing Josh's comments. Now, that was 12 years ago. Things change, thank God. But yeah, for the rest of the year, it's like, oh, really? You're going to call us out? Like, we know where this is going. So now you have a team that's 1-6. Now you have the vast majority of a fan base that did not take any sort of wonderful joy in a guy getting hurt, and they're going to remember that. They are absolutely going to remember that. So they better be a team that's been completely imperfect this year, better be perfect, or it's going to get even worse. It's that simple. There's guys who can say it. Everybody can say it. There's guys that maybe are a little bit different than others, like Miles, Nick. These are guys that, yeah, they say something. It's like, all right, let me think about this. There's other guys that they don't care. They do not care. No. Those fans were there before him. They're going to be there after him, and you're nobody to them. They're not going to tell you how to live. That's not how that's going to work. I'm telling you right now. You've seen it a million times, Tone, and that's not just to Cleveland. That's everywhere. You get the money. You get the contract. You deal with it. And I'll act the way I want to act. That's the way that people see it. And most of those people in that stadium did not act like idiots when he went down.
Yeah, I have to say, I absolutely was guilty of a lot of that stuff. Maybe this was young Lima. I think over time, you know, I've met these guys, and I'm not gonna make it seem like they're all saints. They certainly are not. But there are really good ones, and maybe it's the fact that now that we got one of them tomorrow. We got one of them tomorrow. Ronnie McLeod is awesome. He's an awesome guy.
Ronnie's a good guy.
He's a new father. We talk to him about normal human stuff, but our fans don't do that. Our fans don't really, you might get some of it on social media, but our fans don't really get the opportunity in most cases to sit there and have that kind of relationship with an actual professional, whether it's NFL, NBA, MLB. They just don't get that opportunity. And so it does not surprise me that fans think only certain things about these guys, because I was in that boat. I definitely used to act like that. And I Certainly. I've told you before, Willis McGahee wasn't a Buckeye. He was somebody on the other team. When he went down the national championship game, I was drunk and I was hooting and hollering because all that mattered to me was winning a national championship when I was 19, 20 years old. I'm 43. I do think differently about a lot of this stuff.
I was still a big Buckeye fan then. I felt sick when he got hurt. I swear to God I did. And then I met him when he was with the Cleveland Browns. You want to talk about a delight. Willis McGahee is a delight. 216-474-0092. Let me get back to the phones. Isaac and Shaker Heights, you're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's one.
Hi, Isaac.
Terrible weekend for the, almost a terrible year for the city of Cleveland, like with snake bit. But it's okay. We're a strong city. We'll get through it. I want to take it a little different here. I'd like to know, what do you think the players around the league, free agent possibilities, think about him being cheered when he was injured? How would they take it?
Isaac,
also,
I saw a lot of that yesterday. People say,
Isaac,
well, now you're
you.
Never going to get another free agent. Nobody's going to want to come here. Guys, the cash is still green, right?
Like, I'm going to let you in on another secret, guys. They all think the same of us in every city.
Fans hate hearing that. I know that when they sign and they're up there and they talk about the dog pound and, wow, I've heard my whole life, I've heard the Cleveland fans are the best in sports. They say that in every city. They'll say it in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
they do. I've seen it. Like, it's just the reality. I know people don't want to hear that. Now, some do over time, like the Joe Thomases of the world, when they immerse themselves in the city, the Joe Haydens of the world, then there is an authenticity to that message.
I mean, look, you look at some of the guys who have become part of media and part of the culture and some of their fan base. I mean, you get like John Ritchie over there and who's the one afternoon host over there? Ike Reese over there in Philadelphia. That's two guys or three or four guys over the course. Hugh Douglas, like a course of thousands of players. Most of it's, I was in Philadelphia or I was in Cleveland for 3 years. I signed this contract and then I left because I went back home because my career was over. That's the way most of them feel. Yeah, we are the same to them, to a lot of players. We're the same in Pittsburgh as we are to Philly, as we are to Cincinnati, as we are to Green Bay. Maybe Green Bay is a little bit different because it's a touristy place. But everywhere else, it's, hey, they're all hard fans and they're all going to get on you the second you don't perform to your highest level. They feel that way about all of us. So I don't think that anybody is going to decide. The only reason I've ever seen a player decide to not come to Cleveland was because of the performance of the franchise before. Like Tony Jefferson and a couple of other guys. They're not going to not come here because the fans are mean. They're not going to not come. They're not going to. If the Browns are offering $1 million more guaranteed, they're not going to come here because the fans are mean. That's not an answer.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry.
They're not going to not come here because the fans are mean.
I do not think you have to worry about that ever. I mean, you want to go with stereotypes for cities. I was telling Ken before the show, what does everybody say about Boston? No. Racist towards the team. They have no problem getting African-American players in Boston.
That
okay,
is,
and players that have won.
It is, you know, players.
It's not something that's going to come back and haunt you.
Listen, I can only go after the people I know that did cheer the injury. And I told you I saw one right in front of me. I can't explain it for them, and I'm not going to explain it for them, but no, they're not going to say that they're not coming here. It's not your fault that the team is bad. It's not your fault that in years past guys have turned you down because the team hasn't been good and they wanted a chance to go running after a Super Bowl. It's not your fault over that. To the 99% of fans that I'm talking to who are reasonable people, no, that's not your fault. Not going to turn it on the fans. That's for all three teams here.